thank you for your prayers this morning. I feel much stronger than I did yesterday. So I appreciate the Lord's goodness to me. We want to talk about faithfulness in prayer this morning. We want to start in Acts 12, verses 1 through 5. It says, "Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." It was very perilous times for the disciples, very perilous times that were coming forth. Herod the king was vexing certain ones of the church, and he had already killed one of the brethren, and then he had taken Peter also, and he intended after Easter to bring him before the people and no doubt slay him too. That was his intentions. It was very perilous times. And it says that Peter was, that when he was put in prison, he had four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, which was, so it'd be about 12 soldiers. And it says that he was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. We understand what that means. We've been doing a lot of praying ourselves for different ones, and particularly those that were being held in prison. We know what it means to pray without ceasing, to continue to look to the Lord. And now that... And now that it seems as if the verdict is in and all there in Austria, the truth is that the district attorney there is not happy with the outcome, and she has petitioned to have them retried. And so it hasn't been granted yet, but it could be granted. So we need to continue to pray. But the most important thing here to realize is that the church kept praying. We didn't give up praying, and we aren't giving up praying here either. We don't know what the Lord has in store. We don't know what other blessings he has mounted up. We don't know what is coming, what is going to be done, how it's going to work out. We don't know all of those things, but God does. And God does all things well. Just like in Peter's case, he was doing all things well. Even though Peter was taken and the church could have been discouraged and they could have said, "Listen, you know, we better not meet together. We better not, you know, we better hide in houses. Maybe we better go to another city where Herod can't reach us as easy." They could have been very upset and in a bad place. But they didn't do that. They didn't do that. They stayed right there. Stayed right there within a walk from the prison, because Peter walked from the prison to where they were. And so it wasn't a very long walk. And they stayed right there and were continually in prayer for him. They didn't know the outcome. They didn't know what was going to happen. They had just seen James, the brother of John, was just killed. So they knew that God does not always deliver from the sword. And they knew that. But yet when they took Peter, instead of getting discouraged and instead of feeling like, well, he's probably going to meet the same end as John did. It's the same king. It's the same. He's after him in the same way. He's persecuting the church like he always has. And nothing has changed. So, but they kept on praying, because we know that outcomes are not always the same. We are not promised that everything we want from the Lord, everything how we think it should go and how we want it, we are not promised that those will all come true. We are promised that He will work them out, but we don't know what the working out will entail. And part of the working out here was the fact that Peter was taken also. I mean, he could have been hidden. They may have been hiding out. Obviously, he was in a place where he was in the public where they could get a hold of him. They didn't. We don't have any record of them searching houses until they found him. Obviously, he was out and about his father's business, and he was taken. But they prayed without ceasing, not knowing the outcome, having gone through something horrible already, already grieving for the loved one that was taken, already grieving like that. They could have gotten to a place where they felt like, Lord, what are we even doing here? Why are we even still here? What should we do now? Should we just all go run away and hide? What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to carry the gospel? And they could have gotten very down and very limited in their being able to believe God for great things. But they didn't do that. They kept praying. Dear ones, when we get into places like that, we just have to keep praying.
Yes.
Prayer is the comfort that we have between us and God in all manner of situations. When we can take those things to God in prayer, we will have great comfort. He will talk to us. He will inspire us. He will speak to us. He will help us to know everything that we need to for the given situation. There are many things He won't tell us. He may not have told them that that James was going to be killed. But once they found out that he had been, then of course, where's their mind going to go?
Yeah.
With Peter. They're going to be concerned about the same thing. No doubt they're praying hard against it. Oh, don't let the same thing happen to Peter. But you know, God has a way of talking to our hearts and inspiring us and helping us to be able to hang on and do what God wants us to do in the midst of trials and heavy temptations and even grief and suffering. He helps us to hang on and do what is right. His grace is sufficient. He pours out His grace on us because He loves us. And because He doesn't want us to be discouraged. And He wants us to be full of faith. So even in perilous times, just for our own selves, just things that we're going through, whether it be sickness or whether it be emotional things or even financial things, perilous times can be on all of us. And the Lord doesn't want us to get down underneath it. He wants us to keep praying without ceasing. Keep praying, even though it looks like the answer isn't coming, even though it looks like everything is stacking up against you, even though it looks like that there's no way out of this problem, and even if it looks like that the Lord hasn't answered till now, so maybe He's never going to answer, it does not matter what we think. What matters is what we do. And we pray without ceasing. We keep going to the source, because the source will help us through. Whatever the answer is, the source is going to be the one that helps us through. We won't get through on our own. In Luke 18, verses 1 through 8, this is a parable that Jesus gave. It says, "And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray, not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man." In other words, it was a bad situation.
Yes.
It was somebody who couldn't be trusted. Many times, our fate, what's going to happen to us, is going to lie in the hands of people that do not care about us, that they do not have any love or concern for us, and that are very unjust, whether it's on a job, whether it's in a family, whether no matter where it is, it's going to rely on somebody that may be not as trustworthy as they need to be, may not tell it exactly how it needs to be said, may lie a little bit or exaggerate a little bit to make themselves look better. And we're going to run across these things. And there's no sense for us to get under it and say, well, they're lying, they're not telling the truth, you know, it's not being represented right. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God is not hindered by what other people say. And he's not hindered by the circumstances of anything. He works beyond and through all the circumstances. So this was an unjust judge, and there was a widow in the city, somebody that's not very well protected. You know, when we have a husband, we feel like we have more protection, and he is there fighting for the family, but a widow that has no more protection, and she's trying to make it on her own, so here comes this widow, and she says, I need some help. Something was going wrong in her life. She was being attacked in some kind of a way, mistreated or misrepresented, whatever it was. But she came to a man that was supposed to be able to help her with her adversary. But this man didn't care either. Do you know that there's many, many times on this earth that we petition to those in authority and they don't care? And they don't care about what happens to us or how we're looked upon, or if there was lies told about us. They don't care.
They don't.
Because they are sinful themselves. And they don't have any way to make that better. They are to be pitied. They are not to be looked upon as evil and we have hatred and all for it. No, they're to be pitied. Because they don't realize what they're doing and how they're representing themselves and how they're representing other things. They do not realize the judgment that is going to be poured out upon them someday. They don't realize it. And so they think they can just keep on getting away. And the Bible says that there are many times that because judgment isn't executed speedily on something, it's in men's hearts to just go on doing the same thing. If I've lied and got away with it in the past, I'm going to continue to lie. If I stole and got away with it, I'm going to continue to steal. If I have treated my brother badly and got an advantage over it, I'm going to continue to do that to get my advantage. This is what sin does in the world. But we don't act like the world. We are not the world. We don't look at the world the same way, and we don't react the same way. But it says that he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man. So he wouldn't help her for a while. But he said, and he even knew what kind of a person he was. He's saying here, I don't care about this person. I don't care about her problem. I don't care about anything she's saying. But there's one thing he does care about. Yet because this widow troubleth me. In other words, he's concerned about himself because she keeps coming. I see her almost every day or every week she's coming or every other day she's coming. And I have to listen to it all over again. And I have to pretend like I care. People are looking on. I really don't care. I don't really want to handle this. I think it's silly and I don't really care. But I'm going to avenge her. I'm going to do something for her. Lest by her continual coming, she weary me. And then the next scripture says, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Did you hear what he said? I'm going to avenge her. Not because it's the right thing to do. Not because I really care about her case. Not because I think that there's been injustice done here. No, she's just bothering me. I want to be out from under it. He says, hear what this unjust judge saith. And then he said, and then I want you to consider something else. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Oh, the Lord is slow to act. Have you ever noticed that?
Yes.
He never acts as fast as we want him to. Now, sometimes he comes on the scene pretty quickly, but it's never as fast as we would have liked to have had. What it's saying here is that those that are crying to him day and night, if you only cry for a little while, it's just like a little child. You know, a little child is crying and fussing somewhere or something. And that in just, you know, they only cry and fuss for a little bit and then they go on about their business. You don't think much of it, do you? You don't think anything of it. You don't think it's very important. And you don't even maybe go even and check. But when they continually cry, day and night and night and day, you start to get a little concerned. But what the Lord is saying to us is that this bear long with them, it's not that he's bearing long with us. He's bearing long with the others that are involved. See, it's not about us. When we come to God with things that we need help with or that we're petitioning his throne with, he is not working just for us. He takes everyone into consideration. He takes everyone that is going through anything in the whole situation into consideration. He wants to help everyone, not just us. So he works. And you know how it is when we are trying to work something out, like with a family problem or whatever, how we take time to consider it, and then we take time to kind of see where things are at and test the water, see where everything's at, and then we maybe talk to this little person over here a little bit and that one over there a little bit and kind of feel them out and see, can this thing be worked out right now or not? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, we have wisdom to know that we just don't barge in and say, okay, this has got to stop and you've got to do this and you've got to do that and over. Even we know that that isn't going to work. Well, God knows that too. So even though we're the ones crying to him day and night and needing help with the situation, he's bearing long with all those others that are involved. He would like to touch them. He would like to bless them. And do you know that when you're crying day and night, and you begin to, you know how when you're praying for yourself, after a while you kind of forget, you run out of things to say?
Yes.
Maybe you've been in affliction for a while, and you've prayed and prayed and prayed until the point, you just don't even know what you can even say anymore. And what happens usually? I can tell you what happens to me. I start praying for somebody else because I got nothing left to say about me. I'm done. I don't know what else, but I start praying for others. And as I begin to pray for others, do you know that God is able to work in their places and in their minds because you're putting down prayer for them? So when you begin to cry day and night over something and you begin to lay down all the concerns of everybody involved, not just you, lay down the feelings and the concerns of all the people, begin to understand maybe where they're coming from, and you begin to lay down that kind of prayer, do you know that God is very pleased?
Thank you, Lord.
Over there in Austria, it was just about every prayer service. It was mentioned to pray for this woman district attorney, mm-hmm. to pray for her, because she doesn't know what she's doing.
Yes, that's true.
And she's so against God and ridiculed God and mocked God in the courtroom and all manner of things. And so they're very concerned for her and they've been praying for her.
Yes.
Not just pray for ourselves,
that's right.
but we pray for those that are persecuting us, those that are coming after us.
Right.
Those that are doing wrong. When you cry day and night, pretty soon you run out of things to say about you. You start praying for others, which is what God is after anyway. It's what he's after. So, he bears long with those that you're asking to be delivered from. He bears long. He tries to work with them on their side too. He tries to soften their hearts and tries to work with them. And then it says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. What is speedily in God time? Do you know it's not our speedily? Speedily to us is now. You know, we live in the age of microwave, you know, There was a time that the whole state, I think, here in California, the whole state was under a 55 mile an hour speed limit. The whole state. Do you remember that when that happened?
Yes.
It didn't last very long, but it was there. That was really hard, wasn't it? Because you felt like you weren't speedily getting anywhere. Everything seemed so slow. And when they opened it back up to where you could go 65, and some places it's even marked 70, and it felt like you were getting along so much better. You know, over there in Germany, they have the Autobahn. And I don't even want to know how fast we were really going. Because in kilometers per hour, we were going 150. I don't even know what that does in miles per hour. I didn't even look it up. But I'm pretty sure it's well over 100. And everybody's doing it. And I'm thinking, and they're driving with one hand, and they're like, we drive at 65. One hand, getting this and messing with that, and you know how you do. They're doing the same thing. Well, speedily. We like things done really speedily. But God doesn't work like that. He works in His time. And He knows that when He finally gets to the answer, you're going to be so much better off. And you're going to be much happier with the result than if He just came in your time and took care of it. But it says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? Are you going to keep praying? Are you going to keep holding on? Are you going to keep asking the Lord? Are you not going to give up? Are you going to pray continually? Are you not going to let it just go? Well, I haven't gotten an answer. These last couple of weeks, months, maybe years. So I just don't even think about it anymore. I've just decided, okay, I'm living with it. It's just meant to be, and I'm supposed to be happy. Or do we keep looking to the Lord? Do we keep it before the Lord? I think sometimes we give up too soon. And soon might not be how we look at soon, because it could be several years, and several years in our time is not soon. But in God's time, it's not very long. It's not very long. And just like with me waiting 14 years for the healing of my knees, I wanted it healed all along. And in the beginning, I prayed a lot. I was anointed a lot. I prayed a lot. But over the years, as the years went by, I prayed less and I prayed less, but I still prayed. And ever so often, I would get a burden and I would take it to the Lord again. And I would go forward for anointing again and ask the Lord for healing. And when God finally saw that now was the time, He answered. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that while now I'm here on my own and kind of having to figure out things by myself, and I don't have a husband to do this for me or that for me or all these different things, how good God is to give me back some strength to help me along. Because He is gone. And it's a wonderful thing to have God take care of you that way. To look it over and say, no, now's not the time. But when I bring it, it's going to be a real blessing. It's going to be really something that you can hold on to. So let's move on to Mark 11, 24 through 26. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe, and you shall receive them, and you shall have them. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? That sounds almost like magic. You know, in other words, I just wish it into existence. I just pray anything that I wish for, I just pray for it, and petition the throne, and He grants it to me. Is that what you found?
No.
No. No. Because what is the one thing that God cares the most about? Our soul. So he doesn't grant us everything. Because some things just work good for our soul. They're just good for our soul. They may not be good for our physical body. They may not be good for our for a lot of things going around us. We may have a lot of problems, temptations, trials, and all. But he's after our soul.
Amen.
And he knows what our soul needs to stay on track. It's easy for our mind to get distracted, particularly, unfortunately, particularly when things are going well.
Yes.
It's easy for us to get distracted, to sit back, you know, and relax and, so to speak, kick up our feet and feel like, ah, you know, everything is going so good right now. Have you learned not to be doing that?
Yes.
Have you learned not to just sit there and say, oh, this is wonderful. You know, I'm just going to take it easy. Have you learned that on those times when everything is really wonderful, it's when you really, really need to pray?
Yes.
Because something's coming. We don't stay on the mountaintop very long before we're sliding down the other side. And it's a wonderful, it's a climb to get there, and it's a lot of burden bearing and a lot of things that we go through to get to the mountaintop. But you know, the mountaintop doesn't stay, we don't stay on there very long. And we start coming down the other side, headed to the next valley, because that's what our life is, mountaintops and valleys, ups and downs.
Yeah.
But we don't have to be up and down in our spirit. Our spirit can learn to be on a level, even plane, no matter where we are. So, it says, and when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Now, what have you found out sometimes as you're going through these trials, these testings, these things that you're petitioning God for? What have you found out? You have found out that as the longer you go on, you start examining your own life, don't you? And in your own life, you're examining your own life, and what do you usually do? You usually find things that you ask forgiveness for. Lord, I can see I haven't been doing this quite right.
Yes.
I can see I needed to be stronger over here. Lord, I can see I got a little lazy right there. And we start seeing all the little places that we're not doing quite right, and we ask for forgiveness. Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Amen.
Do you think we would discover those things if we weren't in a trial? It's hard to think that we would discover them. Because I don't know about you, but I discover most of them when I'm in somewhere. When I'm caught in something, it's when I discover things about me.
Amen.
When I'm on the mountaintop or when I'm doing well and I feel strong and spiritually and physically and everything else, I'm not discovering anything. I'm not going down to prayer that day and discovering some awful thing that's still in my life that I know nothing about. No, I'm happy, rejoicing. I'm praying for everyone else, and I'm happy and contented, and I'm not asking for anything from me. But we get down in the valleys, and we get in those hard places. That's when we start discovering things about ourselves, things that we need to ask forgiveness for. So, the Lord says, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses.
Yes.
Oh, we have a lot of problems in life. Many of them are caused by people.
Yes.
People in our life. We have to learn how to forgive them, no matter how vile and evil they can be towards us.
Amen.
We have to learn how to forgive them.
Yes.
How are we going to learn that? You're going to stay in there until you get it. You're going to figure it out. The Lord is going to keep you right there till you discover what it is that you need to forgive somebody for. Because why? Because the Lord says, because of all the things in your life
yes.
that you know about And especially the things that I know about, that I am forgiving you for. How dare we hold something else on somebody else? And God wants us, it is hard when we pray to have faith. We won't have the kind of faith we need if we don't have forgiveness in our hearts.
Yes.
We won't have the kind of faith we need.
No.
We need to know that we are on a sure footing, a sure foundation with God in order to have that.
Amen.
So in John 14, 13 and 14, it says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do,
Amen.
That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it." Do you believe that statement?
Yes. Amen.
The Lord is going to answer your prayer, but it may not be what you want.
Right.
Do you know we're very limited in our scope of understanding exactly what we need?
That's so.
Very limited.
Yes.
But God understands exactly what we need. So when we ask Him for something, God goes past what we're asking for and looks at the need that we have. And aren't you glad He does that?
Amen.
What if He only went after and helped the things that we asked for?
Mm-hmm.
We would be miserable because we don't know what we need.
Mm-hmm.
But He does.
Mm-hmm.
So He goes past what we asked for and He says, well, they're asking to come out of this trial.
Mm-hmm.
But really, what they need is to have this something that's down deep in their heart that they don't know about. They need it exposed.
Yes.
And so I'm going to keep them in the trial.
Because
this needs to be exposed.
Yeah.
I know they want out. And I know that they are praying. And they are asking in my name. And that they expect that I will do it. And I will do it. After I have worked my purpose in why I'm here. Why the person is here. When God finishes working His purpose. He has a purpose for everything.
Amen.
We don't see His purpose. You can look at maybe the Lockharts over there, and they're looking at 5 years and maybe about 3 years for good behavior. We can look at that and say, oh, such a long time. But is it? If you live to be 80 years old, 3 years out of your life isn't very much, is it? Is it? Oh, it's terrible. We hate it. We don't like it. Why are we here? Why do we have to go through this? Why is this happening? But in the scheme of things, it's small. Very small. Just like all of our trials. It's small in the scheme of things. In everything that you're looking at, we need to have faith and prayer. Whether it gets answered in our speedily time thinking or whether it gets answered in God's thinking. We need to have faith and believe, and we need to keep believing that God can do this. And we need to believe, Lord, I believe you will do this. If this is really good for me, you will do this for me. So then, it's very important to use Jesus' name. Very important. There are many, many scriptures in the Bible that says about using Jesus' name and what He'll do if you use His name. It's very important to the Father that we use Jesus' name. His Son, the one He sacrificed for us, the one that He said, you have to go down and suffer for mankind and take the punishment that they deserve. And so it's very important to God that we acknowledge that and we ask things in Jesus' name. That we accept that sacrifice for our sins. And we accept Him as the go-between between us and the Father. It's very important to God. In 1 John 5, 14 through 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him.
Yes.
If we ask anything according to his will, we know there's some things that are against God's will. We wouldn't even ask for those things. But sometimes we ask amiss just simply because we do not have very good understanding. Some people try to cover everything that they pray, and at the end of their prayer say, according to your will, Lord. But that's not exactly what the Lord's after either.
No.
What he is after is that we will become closer to him, become more a part of him, become a vessel that is organized and sent out and even thinks and deduces and uses wisdom of his. He wants us to become so close to him that we don't ask amiss, that we don't do that, that we have some understanding and some wisdom to know how to ask the Lord for things. So it says that if we know that he hears us, he hears us. Ask anything according to his will and he hears us.
Yes.
So there are many things that we can ask according to his will.
So.
We can ask for the salvation of our loved ones. That is according to his will. We can ask. And what does it say here? It says, and he says, and he will hear us. And if we know that he hears us,
yes,
whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Can God make anyone to be saved?
No.
Does he give them free will?
Yes.
So we understand this when we ask things, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
We understand that everybody has free will.
Yeah.
So we ask, Lord, would you do things to wake them up?
Yeah.
Would you bring circumstances that they might be able to see and know and understand more clearly? Would you give them visions or dreams in the night? Would you, you know, shake up something in their lives to make them think about their soul? There's lots and lots of things that we can ask for that are according to God's will. And God will look out on that situation. And he will hear us. And he will answer us. And for all we know, he's already done everything that we asked him. That he's already done it. And we are asking, we don't know that because we don't know God. We don't know all of his wisdom and all of his ways and how he's been working. We don't know. He may have already done all those things. We can be sure that he heard us. We can be sure that he will do something about it. He doesn't just look down upon us and say, oh, they don't know what they're saying, so I'm just not going to even listen to them, like the unjust judge. No. He looks down and takes note. And sometimes he will give us a glimpse of how he is working with them. Sometimes we will hear something or understand something, or they will say something, and we will realize, oh, Lord, you are talking to them. You are doing, and it encourages us because we've been asking. We didn't know how you were going to do it, Lord, but we've been asking.
Yeah.
And you know, many times when we pray, we try to tell the Lord about all about it and how he can work it out.
Mm-hmm.
We try to tell him how if this would happen, that this would go this way, and oh, if this or that, or oh Lord, please don't let so-and-so happen because that'll turn them from you forever, and all these things. We have a lot of understanding, don't we? We have a lot of things that we think that we can pray about and change God's mind. But the best thing about the Lord is that he's going to do what's right.
Amen.
Even if we ask, even, dear saints, if we ask amiss, we miss it altogether. We don't understand it well at all, which is where we were at when we first got saved. But we were praying, but he took our prayers and he looked at them and he said, he was so kind and faithful to us, and he said, oh, I can't answer this one like they're saying, but I have an answer for them.
Yeah.
And someday, further on down the line, they'll understand my answer, but right now they won't. But that's all right. You know, the Lord is willing to let us think things about him. To let us think that he didn't hear. To let us think that he isn't doing anything. He lets us have that freedom to have our mind working like that. And does it please him? No. But we have freedom, dear ones. In salvation, we have freedom. And we think a lot of things. And we believe a lot of things should go this way or go that way.
Yes.
And the Lord said, if you only had my wisdom, if you only saw it from eternity's standpoint, you wouldn't even be asking for this. Because this is not going to work for eternity for these souls. It's not going to work for their eternal souls. It'll be a detriment. So God always, always works to give us our petitions in his will.
Amen.
Not against his will, but in his will.
Yes.
Just like we don't give everything to a child that asks. They ask for a lot of things. But they're just children. They don't have very much understanding. They don't have very much wisdom. And they would ask, at every meal, they would ask for dessert. And they wouldn't eat any of the vegetables. That's what they would do. Well, that's how we are sometimes. We don't have very good understanding. And we keep asking for dessert, and God wants us to have vegetables. He wants us to understand that, yeah, but this hard place is going to help you. I can't take you out of here right now. Because this hard place is working for your never-dying soul. I can't take you out. He isn't going to let us be spoiled children. To where we just have everything we ask for, whether it's good for us or not. No, he's going to do what's right by us. We can depend on that. We can depend on it. And many times after something, a trial is over, we look back and we say, Lord, I'm so glad that you didn't do so-and-so. When I was asking you to do so-and-so, I see now that would not have been good for me. I really needed to go through this. Because now I have some wisdom and knowledge and some understanding I didn't have before. And it's going to help me to make it the rest of the way. Matthew 18, 19 and 20. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Now some people might think, the most important thing about this scripture is when he says, as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them. But that isn't the most important part of this scripture. What's the important part of this scripture is unity. Unity. That we can get together and ask for things. That we can understand that this needs to be done. That you can find two people that are agreeing on something. You know how hard that is?
Yes.
In any situation, in any group, to get two people to agree?
Yes.
But he's saying, if two of you, just two of you, if you can agree, then there's going to be more answers to prayer. Aren't you thankful for that?
Amen.
The most important part is unity. Finding others that are agreeing in the same thing. There's many times that we're praying about something and praying about something and praying about something and expecting something to happen and nothing's happening and we don't understand and everything. And then maybe we seek somebody out for some counseling and we get some counseling and maybe they say one or two words that spark something in us that does something in our mind. And we begin to look at it differently and we begin to pray about it differently and all of a sudden, here comes the answer. Aren't you glad that you could have two? Aren't you glad that we don't have to do this all on our own? That we don't have to figure out everything on our own? That I can trust my brothers and sisters to have some good thoughts, some good answers, some good counsel from time to time? That I can learn to humble myself and be able to take something that somebody else has to say, and then get just as so far behind that and just push that and say, Lord, I see the wisdom of what they're saying, And it hasn't been why I've been thinking, and I see the wisdom of it. Lord, help me. Help me to just pray like they're praying, and the two of us get together. Do you know that God is pleased in that? He's pleased in unity. That is how we come out on the other side with faith in our prayers. It's because we pray and we seek God in unity. We have to have that. This is the last scripture, John 16, 23, and then 26 and 27. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. In other words, we're not supposed to be asking Jesus for things now. We're supposed to be asking the Father. When Jesus was here, we were asking him. We're supposed to be asking the Father in his name. And this is why, down in 26 and 27. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I will say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. It says, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. The reason God loves us so much is because we have accepted Jesus, his only son. If we could get in our minds how much that means to God, that we have accepted Jesus, his sacrifice, his son, the one he took out of eternity and laid down his life for us, and that we believe in him, though we haven't seen him, that we believe the scriptures that talk about him, though we weren't there, that means a lot to God.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
It causes us for him to love us.
Amen.
He loves us because we accepted what he prepared to save us out of our horrible existence. He loves us. And we need to know that no matter when we're praying, and we're praying without ceasing, and we're getting others, and we're praying together, all these things, and we're expecting God to answer. We may not know exactly how he will answer, but we believe he will answer. We have faith that he hears us. Why do we have that? Because we say all the time, because God loves us. He loves me. He loves me as an individual. He looked down at all of my shortcomings, everything that's wrong with me, everything that I've got my mind messed up and not thinking right. He looks down on all of it, and he loves me. He loves me because I'm such a sweet person. He loves me because I always try to do the right thing. No, he loves you because you accepted the sacrifice of his son, his only son. You accepted it. That's why he loves you like he does. He is overcome with love for you because of your love for Jesus. He is overcome with love for you. That's why he answers us. That's why he goes on and does all the things that he does for us. That's why he does it, is because we love Jesus. So we need to have faith when we pray.
Yes.
That God hears us. He's doing the best for us. There's all kinds of little nuances and things that are written about prayer. There's a lot written about prayer in the Bible. If you were to take any one of those scriptures and hold it up and try to live by just one of them, you would be in error, because of all the scriptures, they all put together make up what we understand about God. That he isn't going to spoil us, and he isn't going to give us just because we ask for it all the time. Though he is going to give it because we ask, but he's going to do it the right way. It's not going to look like what we asked for, but it's going to be the right thing. Because of all that, because of all the things he knows, all of his knowledge, that when we pray, we need to have faith to believe that God is working his purpose. No matter if it goes our way or what we think is our way right now, later on, we will be glad that God did it this way, because it's working for our never dying souls. So we need to have faith in our prayers that God is going to answer, but he's going to do it his way.